All right. Thank you so much for everyone's patience. We will call the meeting back into order at 12:45. And we will move forward with the continuation of our agenda with Shura College. Mr. LaMountain, would you like to give us a brief summary?
Yes, Mr. Romano, members of the board, Shura College is seeking renewal for the renewal application from conditional to provisional non-accredited degree program. The institution was accredited for the first time last year by us. All of the information is in your board packet. And representing the institution today is Ms. Karen Uno. Hopefully, Karen, I didn't mess that up too much. Mr. Romano.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Cardullo, looks like you are the board lead.
I am. Thank you so much, Mr. Romano. And welcome, Ms. Buño.
Thank you.
And I wonder if you would like to start with a summary of your school and your where you're at since last year.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for my last name is Buckno. It was very close, but thank you, board members and Ms. Cardullo. I have alongside me Dr. Cindy Olson. She is our executive director of nursing. And she's here alongside of me today, and she'll be doing the opening statement.
Wonderful.
Hi, I'm Dr. Olson. It's a pleasure to be here. It's been a year since we've been here, and we've really been doing a lot and had a great year, an exciting year. We started our first cohort of students in January of 21, and we just started another cohort January of this year. We built and established an advisory board and a nursing program advisory commission, and we've gotten lots of great feedback from those meetings to help with the quality of our program. We've also submitted for our DEEC accreditation, which will happen in July. And after we get accreditation for that, so we have our benchmarks, we're gonna go for our CCNE accreditation. Our students have given us amazing feedback. They're very happy with the program, but also in our course surveys, we've taken all of their feedback and incorporated possible needed changes to improve the program. So it's just been really a great learning experience for the students and for us, actually. And we're excited for to be here today. As you know, anytime you go through these processes, you learn yourself and you find ways to improve your program.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you both for being here. I had a few questions. First of all, just a comment that congratulations on your materials, your website, your catalog. I've looked through all of it. It's really solid. And so I appreciate all that effort. And it's also really good news to hear that you've still been actively working with DEAC, even though your timeline shows that you're not eligible. I think it's 2 years after your first class.
Correct.
Okay. But so you're on track with them. You're in touch with your educational consultant, and you've got
yes, that. We have our application all ready to go, and we're expecting in July, because that would be our 2 years of incorporation is July.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. One question I had. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Oh, no. We haven't submitted application. I think that's what we're saying. We've just done all the work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it mentioned that you went to the workshop or their conference in February of 2020. Have you not been back to one?
Oh, we did again the workshop. We did it again in the fall of 2021. And we also plan on attending their annual meeting in April of 2022. Just
great.
To kind of get a feel for the committee and just everything that we can learn.
Great. No, I think mm-hmm. that's wonderful. I had a question about now that you've started a couple cohorts, on the practicum that's coming up, there's one in, I think, second semester and then the capstone in the fourth semester. How yes. are they getting those outside hours?
So that's one of the reasons Dr. Roman wanted to establish the college in Arizona is because through his awesome review, he has multiple providers across the country, but several in Arizona themselves. However, two of our students were able, they found their own preceptor, or not, it's not a preceptor because it's more of an observational experience for them. And then the other two have not gotten to that point yet where they're doing that. But we do have two doctors contracted right now that will take them into their clinic where they can be with a nurse practitioner or with a physician to learn techniques for assessment, advanced assessment.
Okay. Yeah, I know that this isn't subject to the nursing board since this is already a post-licensure, but that's always the big question they ask is, you know, do you know how swamped we already are and can we take other additional students? So that's good.
Yes. Yeah, that's where Dr. Rahman's networking through his awesome review business is really helpful for us.
Okay, great. I had a question about the catalog, and maybe you can tell how it's going with this. In your attendance requirements, it says that you have to participate online 2 days a week. In the online participation section, it doesn't mention 2 days a week. It says you can do it anytime, but it doesn't say how many times. I wondered if there'd been any issue with that or question about
there
that.
There has not been any issue with that, but certainly we would want that clarified so that they get the same message no matter where they read. So we
You have it. Just a tip, I guess. You have it in three places in your catalog. You have it in the online, in the delivery model, and then you have it in the attendance requirements, and then you have it in the online participation section. So okay. That would just be a tip in case.
We'll certainly go back and clarify that. So it's the same message every time they read it.
One thing I didn't see in the catalog is any mention of assessments, and I'm assuming they have to take exams. Is there, because it's online, how are they proctored? How are they scored or weighted?
So they have quizzes that are small point, and they are not proctored. But they do have, like in their pathophysiology class, they have a midterm and a final that are proctored, and those are proctored through the Moodle cloud. They have the way to proctor it there. And they show their driver's license to us when they start, and then I proctor that test. Their faculty proctors with them. And then in those courses that don't have those big weighted tests in them, then a lot of their points come from written assignments, and I use Grammarly to do the plagiarism check and such like that, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. Let's see. The other question I had, well, the big question I have, where I'm going to hope my fellow board members can help me with this, because I'm not a financials person, but looking at the income, I was trying to figure out where the funding is coming from. If you have this grant, is everybody getting this new college grant program? And where's that money coming from and where is it going to? And then maybe related to that is, are all the students getting that HEROES scholarship? Because it says the requirement is you have a BSN and an active license. And the HEROES scholarship sounds like that's who gets the change in pricing. So that's where I could use some clarity in understanding what money is even coming in.
Right. So the HERO scholarship has not really come into play just because we have that grant money. And as you know, that a nursing program, it is hard to enroll students until you're an accredited program. I mean, they're kind of taking a risk with us as we are investing in them. And so Dr. Rahman, when he started Awesome Review, he knows a startup company isn't profitable for quite a long time. And he has a five-year plan before we're even probably at a break even. I don't know if that's a problem or not, but he's invested in education. It's very important to him. And so we needed to get some students. And so he's the sole provider of the funding of the college at this time. And every student who applies to the college will be eligible for those funds until July of this year.
Okay. I want to make sure to be really careful about that. And I'm glad that I have my fellow board members here because having come from an institution where they paid the funding for the students, they got in some hot water over that. And I want to make sure it's being done right. I don't know exactly how to do that, but it sounds like you're paying students to attend your school.
No.
That his money, that he's paying it.
He's paying it to the school. So he is paying for their tuition. Yes.
And is he in a, does he have a separate foundation or something, or how does that work?
He has another company, Awesome Review, but it is a, I think I shared his personal finances as well, and he is funding it through his personal finances. So it isn't offered by Awesome Review, it's offered by Dr. Ahmad.
I see, okay. Okay, so those were my main questions, and I wanted to see if my fellow board members have questions as well.
And, sure, thank you.
And Dr. Rahman owns 100% of the school?
Correct.
So you could see how that may... He owns the school, and he's paying the tuition for the students to go to school. So he's essentially paying students to attend his school. Not to minimize or not complicate that, but to Ms. Cardullo's point, that could be concerning. And does that cover all of their tuition or a portion of their tuition? I think you said it stops by July. So does that mean they'll have further tuition obligation? So he got them started, but they may not be able to finish, or?
No, the students who are enrolled have that grant throughout the duration of the program.
Okay. If I read it right, it was that anyone who starts before July of 22.
Yes.
Will receive all tuition and fees.
Right.
Paid for.
Yes. I mean, again, because we're not accredited, we don't, our students cannot apply for any federal funding. They can't get, you know, they're very limited in their ability to seek funds to attend school at Surah College until we have our accreditation.
Okay. Mr. Lupke, did you have your hand raised?
Totally different question, so I don't want to take it off track. It sounds like you want to stay on the financial issues unless you're ready to move on.
Okay, Mr. Romano, follow-up question to you?
Yeah, so just kind of keeping it going there. I am trying to appreciate a little bit of kind of where the finances are and the stability of that piece based on the financials that were provided, and then complementary based on the projections of what was provided. It looks as though, and unfortunately the document that was provided for the projected or actual budgeted starts, it has it as updated as of October 29, 2021. That's the document I'm looking at. It would suggest that for the next, I guess, 12 months or some period, it was unclear of what the period actually is, the school would be operating in a loss for the foreseeable future. And so I didn't know if you had any updated information that would suggest when the institution would not be operating in a loss.
Again, I think it's a matter of getting through our accreditation processes. And once we reach 22 students, we would no longer be operating at a loss. But again, Dr. Rahman is committed to this school, and he is prepared to for the finances of 5 years, for sure. He's invested in a five-year plan for us to come to a break-even or a gain. And that's just at 22 students. And so I think once we're accredited, we'll be able to draw in many students. And we are hoping to add in the FNP program, which again is going to boost our student numbers.
Okay. that's all I have in regards to the financial pieces. So I'll stop at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Mr. Romano. Mr. Lipke.
Well, wouldn't you know, now I do have a financial question. Hey, Scott Wallace, I did not see in any of their financial records where the owner might be expecting to be paid back through some sort of contributed equity on these, on funding the students. Did you happen to notice if there's an expectation to be paid back?
And I see, Scott,
let,
I think...
Let me look at that. I lost connection there for a second. So I think I got your question. You want me to look at the financial statement?
Yeah, I just, it's not unusual for startups to do it that way, but if they do it that way, it should be reflected on the financials.
Sure.
And what's your question again? I'm sorry. I'm looking at the financials now.
Yeah, I don't know if he has... if he's being listed as being having contributed the equity that basically is represented by the tuition that he's contributing on behalf of these students.
Well, it looks like he contributed equity, $330,000 once upon a time, and they've had operating losses, so he's funding the operating losses.
Yeah.
When I go to the P&L, it has a grant, I think, of 22 or scholarship fund of 22,000. I don't know where that came from. If that came from the founder, that's certainly one issue. And so your question is, should that be a capital contribution or should it be revenue? Do I understand that correctly?
Right.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, I don't think, but I guess we should ask the representatives there, you know, where that $22,000 came from. Is that, did that come from the owner or was mm-hmm. that some other source?
Yeah. Yes, that was the grant that he provided to the school, yes.
Grant, okay.
For the students.
Well, it's, I guess you could... I see it more as a capital contribution than a grant, okay? When you look at the balance sheet, it doesn't matter, but I see it more of it as a capital contribution. I don't know why he did that. He's got plenty of cash.
Yeah.
$162,000 or whatever I saw there.
Yeah.
$162,000. Oh, I see the cash in there is exactly equal to the capital contribution, isn't it? Or the grant of the balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would have booked it as a capital contribution because he's trying to support the school unless he, if he gave the money, I don't know, specified by student or something like that, maybe, but I think it's more of a capital contribution. So
I would agree. And okay. Now, Sura College is not a nonprofit, are they?
No.
Okay.
For profit. But we're nonprofit. But yeah.
Well, operationally, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that's intentional that you're a nonprofit or not. Just worked out that way. Okay, Scott, thank you for your help on that. A question regarding just how things are going in terms of your clinical rotations. I'm assuming you're out in clinicals. And
This is a master's program, and it's a master's of education. So they aren't in clinical like our BSN students would be. Okay. But they just have they have 45 hours that they do for their advanced health assessment. And half of those are spent in simulation and making, they actually do a recorded assessment on a friend or spouse that has signed a release form to be videotaped and consenting to the process. And then I actually review those for their grade for their assessment. But they do go in the clinical site to observe advanced assessment skills with an advanced provider or an MD, and those are going fine. They're very good. And then the Capstone Project, they have a mentor that they have contacted and we have approved. And then they have meeting times with that, but that's not patient oriented. That's more towards their Capstone Project.
Okay. That's a pretty easy environment to work in relative to a bachelor's program.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. Very good. Mr. Chairman, those are the only questions I have.
Thank you. Out of curiosity, is the owner planning on investing more in after the July period if necessary?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, like I said, he's going to stay in this for 5 years and not expect a profit. That's the way he came into this knowing it was going to be a long road to being profitable. He mainly wants it for he's just a big advocate for education, and of course nobody wants to do it for free, but he knows it's going to be a long road before we're starting to see a profit.
Looks like on an annual operating basis of expense, somewhere around $140,000 or so, give or take. Mm-hmm. Right, so but it sounds like he clearly understands the financial obligation there. Dr. Leckett, looks like you may have some questions.
Yeah, I do. I'm familiar with a Master's of Ed program, and I don't think you have any accreditations, but I think you're probably familiar with CCNE,
yes.
And they do require clinical in all of their programs, regardless of the level. So have you looked to that and make sure, you know, for your
yes, that's the change that we made. We added the clinical portion to the advanced assessment based on CCNE, and it's just 45 hours if they require, and half of those can be in simulation.
Got it. Perfect.
Hearing no other questions, Ms. Cardullo, would you like to make a motion?
I would. I'd like to move to approve Sura College to go from conditional to provisional non-accredited degree license application, approved with the stipulation that they maintain the $38,576 surety bond.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that. That's Scott Wallace.
Does the institution agree with the stipulation?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Lamont, would you like to take roll?
Dr. Mittman. Dr. Mittman is absent. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Lukey? Mr. Lukey? Mr. Lukey? I'll come back. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Ms. Cardullo.
Aye.
Ms. Cardullo votes aye. Back to Mr. Lukey. May have fallen off, but by your vote of five ayes, one not voting, and one absent, the motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for attending today, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
You as well.
You too.
Thank you. All right. We will now move on to the portion of the agenda for initial applications for licensure with the Inspection Career Training Academy, LLC, up first. Mr. Lamont.
Mr. Romano, members of the board, Inspection Career Training Academy is seeking an initial application for a conditional non-accredited vocational license for three programs: home inspection pre-licensing, home inspection pre-licensing live webinar, and parallel inspections. Representing the institution today is Mr. Dylan Winecki and Mr. Romano.
Very good. Mr. Wallace, you are the board lead. And I think Mr. Wallace has dropped off, possibly. Maybe a technical...
Mr. Wallace is there.
Is he?
I'm on. I did drop off.
My apologies. Please take it from
that's
here.
That's okay. I can get back in real fast now because I've done it about three times today. Okay, Mr. Winnicki, you're here. Okay. Thank you for joining us. Do you have any opening comments you'd like to make?
I just wanted to say thank you. My name is Dylan Winnicki. I'm the director of the school here. Thanks, everybody, for working with me for the past couple months on getting this application together. Really learned a lot through this process and appreciate all the help you guys have given and assistance.
Okay. Could you, just an opening question, why do you want to open up a school?
You know, you guys kind of saw earlier with Inspection Go, there's really not that many home inspection schools that are approved by the state BTR. There's actually only nine, and only two of them are in person. Home inspection industry by trade is a very hands-on, you know, crawling in attics, getting onto roofs, opening up furnace panels, that kind of thing. It's a very hands-on type training. And so I believe that there's a need for that. Not only that, but when I went through my training through one of your approved schools a couple years back, which I loved, by the way, it was in person, I learned a ton, but I had to drive all the way down to Ahwatukee, and I live in the Northwest Valley. So I see that there's a need in the North Valley, specifically Central, North Central Valley for this, and believe that it, you know, had a great service to people who are looking to get in the home inspection industry. That's kind of the short version, but yeah, a lot of great ideas. I enjoyed the training I went through. I think there's a lot that we can do to just maximize that and make it that much better. So.
Okay, let me ask you, what is Protect Property, that business?
Protect Property Inspection is my own inspection company that I own. We've been in business for 3 years. In that time, after, like I said, going through the process from one of your approved schools, I was doing home inspections on my own, created my own company, and right now I have 8 inspectors that work underneath me. That are very busy, do a great job. One of them is actually retiring and becoming the lead instructor for Inspection Career Training Academy. So with his experience in not only home inspections, but in education through the years, we believe we can provide a good product with that. But yeah, it's my home inspection company for short.
Okay. Your program, as you presented to us, is it costs a little over $6,000 start to finish for somebody to get through your program? Did I understand that correctly?
There's
three phases, I understand that too.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so just for clarification for the entire board, so basically the 3-week course that you would go through, that takes care of the 84 hours that's required by the Board of Technical Registration. Ours is going to be 87 hours, so a couple extra hours there that we needed to put in based on our curriculum. And that's $1,600. Then if they, the student then chose to stay with us for their apprenticeship program, which we would then get them with one of our inspectors from my inspection company, who is licensed and certified to perform parallel inspections, which is kind of the apprenticeship, if you will. So you'll hear me talk about parallel inspections. The Board of Technical Registration requires 30 of those per applicant. And they have to write a full BTR-compliant report and attend with an inspector on a fee-paid inspection. So that has to be a real inspection out in the field with a real home inspector. That costs $100 per, and they have to do 30 of them. So $3,000 and the $1,600. So $4,600 total would get them through everything. Now the $1,200 you might be thinking of on top of that is just another way that people can attend our course, and that's via live webinar. So that's the same 3-week course as the other pre-licensing course that's in person. They would just be attending via Zoom for people who either can't attend due to illness or would rather, maybe they're coming from out of state or would just rather attend online.
Yeah, but if they rather attend online, they still have to partner up with somebody, so to speak, on the parallel program.
Yes.
I mean, there's no online version of that, I presume.
Absolutely. Nope. They have to go in person on a fee-paid inspection. Yep.
Okay. And so the school would get the $100 for the fee-paid inspection, and then your organization or most probably would get the fee from the homeowner or the seller or whoever pays for that kind of fee.
Yes.
Okay. Explain to me, if you would, and I'm going to probably mispronounce this, but what the heck, you know what I'm talking about? It's some sort of a national organization that you've associated yourself with. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, so when looking to start a school, I was looking at how I was going to come up with this curriculum. And one thing I stumbled upon was an association that I was already a part of as a licensed home inspector is called InterNACHI. It stands for International Association of Certified Home Inspectors. And they're the largest inspection association in the world. They're also the only accredited school by inspection school by the U.S. Department of Education. So they have an online class that is their curriculum is online only, and it's accredited by the feds. And basically, they allow me to become what's called a partner school. And in that partnership, I can basically use their curriculum that's already accredited and also already approved by the state BTR. If you look at their website, InterNACHI is an approved school. So I guess they're also approved through you guys. We're basically going to use their curriculum and teach that in an in-person location in the North Valley.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All righty. And you pay them a fee for this association or this relationship?
So actually, I don't anymore. Originally, just to be a part of their association, it's $50 a month. But becoming a partner school, I actually don't pay them anything anymore. What I do, what I am required to give to them is that once per year, once per calendar year, I'm to go on and do a live training. It's just a basically 3-hour training where I'll talk with the owner of their association and he'll go over one of my home inspection reports, or maybe I want to teach about pool and spa inspections. Thing here locally that we run into, like tile roofs and things like that. So that the rest of their association members, which is about 30,000 people, can get on and learn from us. So as long as I fulfill that, I don't owe them any money. And in their requirements for a partner school, they state that I have to do that. And if I do, I can use all of their curriculum and charge my own fee for it.
Okay. In your business plan, which I looked at, you know, you have a SWOT analysis, and one of the issues relates to one of the weaknesses is, you know, the cost or the obligation to buy equipment. Is that really an obstacle to the school since you've got a parallel service organization? And what's the approximate cost of that equipment to get going?
Yeah. So when I originally wrote that, my plan was to create what's called what I'm calling a lab setting. Okay. So when I went through the in-person training school here in the Valley, they didn't really have anything like that. So what I'm providing now is a lab. So part of my classroom, I have a lab in the next room over, basically has furnaces. I have two different water heaters, one gas, one electric. I have air conditioners. I have all kinds of different electrical panels. And so the student can actually take those and look at them, put their hands on them. The instructor can point to certain things. This is what this is. This is what this does. Instead of looking at a book or watching a video, they can actually point to what those look like. So then when the student is on their apprenticeship and they're in an attic space and it's dark and it's tight and it's uncomfortable, they already have an idea of what they're looking at when they're looking at the furnace. So it creates a more comfortable place and area for the student to look at these things. Now, I've acquired the majority of the equipment I need already for less than $1,000 because most of it is used, damaged, which is actually a good thing, because that's the kind of stuff we look for in home inspections. We want to see what's damaged, what's not compliant, what's below standard. And so I have, you know, electrical panels from the 1930s, because we don't see those very often. But when we do, students aren't very familiar with them. We don't see them often enough. So.
Okay. Just a comment to share with you on your business plan. You indicate that you are the most trusted home inspection school and so forth, and that's very aspirational, you know, from a business plan, and I think that's probably good. I wouldn't share it with any of your students, because you know you probably can't, you know, support that at this particular point in time by some sort of independent evaluation. I think that's most of my questions. I'll open up to my colleagues here for any additional questions.
Ms. Cardullo?
Yes, thank you. And congratulations on your application. It's great. My question kind of follows Mr. Wallace's just a little bit on the claim that you're the best, or I wasn't sure on the marketing materials on that brochure. It looks really professional, and I wondered if this came from the National InterNACHI. Did they make that, or did you?
Yeah, actually, so they have a marketing team that develops this stuff, and I've worked with them from back to the beginning of when I even started my home inspection business. They actually developed my logo, and so the way they work is they have actually kind of a sister entity, if you will. It's called Inspector Outlet. You can buy marketing materials from them. So I buy my business cards for my home inspection company, any marketing handouts I want to create. And what you have to do is purchase them, and you have to buy them in bulk. And then once they see that you do that, then they start working with you on how to design it. So I actually purchased 1,000 copies of that trifold brochure. And then came to the conclusion between working with the board and kind of changing up some of the verbiage and that kind of thing, that would be what we'll go ahead and print. Now, I haven't printed it yet because I wanted to wait until after this meeting here. But, yeah, they did create it. Yeah.
Okay. My feedback for you would be on the middle panel of the backside where it says Y inspections. Some of those things are things that you can't control or prove, like that the career will last, who knows, with regulations in all the different states and federally. Maybe inspections aren't required anymore. Maybe what qualifies you to be an inspector will change. Above average pay, that's something that maybe just needs a footnote or some more explanation. Above average pay compared to what?
Okay.
Like doctors and lawyers, or, you know. So that's just nitpicking a little bit, but I know the FTC is even cracking down on watching, you know, marketing, wording. And then going on the comment that Mr. Wallace said earlier about the little bit of confusion on the next panel where it talks about the 1600 versus the 1200, I think that it would be helpful to have something that said the total cost you would expect to pay is either 1600 or 1200. And please note, that does not get you, you know, that doesn't make you, even if you pass your test.
Not including parallels.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, you said it better. That was my feedback. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I will just add on, as chair of the complaints committee, that you really do want to take a look at this and scrutinize it from the perspective of a student, right? Dylan, you've been a student elsewhere, so you know when you're looking at certain things, when you see claims like get a huge boost in the inspection industry, what's a huge boost?
Right.
Right. And the students will be quick to come back if they struggle on their employment and even the wage that they might be earning. And you are in a very dynamic situation right now, although like home sales are at record highs, right? We also know that people are foregoing home inspections to help advance the sale of the home. So now all of a sudden, something that used to be a standard operating procedure is put into the wayside because people are looking to get into it as quickly as possible. So market conditions change. You can't predict all of those. And part of our responsibility is to help you be successful as well and not suddenly having you come in front of the complaints committee with a student that's frustrated based on potential claims that you brought forward. So that's why we're sharing this with you, not to be critical, but to help you be successful.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I've learned so much about the importance of every word matters. So I really appreciate that and happy to make any changes you guys suggest. So I've written down these and we'll attend to it as quick as possible.
As you continue that on, I noticed in your business plan you talk about some of your competitive advantages, which I found somewhat interesting. For example, centrally located for an online, what seems to be will probably lean to the online side of it. So I don't know if centrally located in the Valley is as much of an advantage, but that's debatable on that side. And then also you talk about the report writing software that you use, which I believe I found was Spectora is what you're using, which I don't think is proprietary to your institution. So you, again, those are the watch outs of, you know, when you're trying to differentiate yourself in the market to ensure that those are true differentiations versus they are available to others to
okay.
offer as well.
True. Okay.
Keeping in the vein of the marketing side, but also as you just think through that. No doubt you strike us as having the energy, the passion, and desire to want to bring forth that education at the highest level for the students, and we're very appreciative of that piece of it. So that's all I have on my side, so I'll relinquish the time to the other board members. Hearing no other questions, Mr. Wallace, would you like to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we grant a conditional non-accredited degree license to Inspection Career Training Academy, LLC, subject to the payment or the establishment of a $15,000 surety bond.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Susan Cardullo, I'll second.
Fantastic. Does the institution agree to the stipulation of the surety bond?
Yes, I have the surety bond already in place.
Very good. Mr. Lamont, would you take roll?
Dr. Mittman is absent. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Lukey?
Aye.
Mr. Lukey votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Ms. Cardullo?
Aye.
Ms. Cardullo votes aye. Your vote is 6 ayes, 1 absent. The motion passes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time coming towards the board. We are here as a resource, as we mentioned before. So have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. It'll be a great one. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thank you. All right, we will move forward to the last school on our agenda for initial application for licensure, Tufts University. Mr. Lupke is our board lead. Mr. Lamountain, would you like to give us a brief summary?
Certainly, Mr. Romano, members of the board. Tufts University is seeking initial application for a regular accredited degree program. The degree program will be a Doctor of Physical Therapy offered in Arizona, and representing the institution is Ms. Tara Schomburg.
All right, very good. Well, welcome, Ms. Schomburg. Do you have an opening statement for us?
Sure. I wanted to first thank Kevin and Jacqueline and Keith and Terry and all their assistance with putting this together. At the university, we're a little bit of a distributed model, and we have a lot of people in different areas where I had to coordinate all of this information. So it's my first time doing it. It's a little daunting, but it was a great experience and really helped me to learn a lot of things. So what we're doing is opening a physical therapy kind of like satellite campus in downtown Phoenix. Our program is a hybrid model, so that means that the majority of the classroom learning is online, and it's both synchronous and asynchronous. So there is a requirement that students are in with their professors, but then there's also parts of courses that they'll take and do the work by themselves. And then every 6 to 8 weeks, the students are traveling to campus to do their their in-person immersions where they do all of their hands-on work. Those last anywhere from 8 to 12 days, and there's no break. It's 8 in the morning till 5 in the evening. They've got time for remediation. They've got time to meet with the faculty. They've got time to mingle with the students, and then they would head back to their home and then start the online portion of the course again. We also have a program that we've already started just like this in the Boston area. So we just started our second cohort. So the first cohort in Boston was, we had 89 students come in. I think we currently have 83 with a goal at the end of 5 years to have 100 students in each cohort. The second class that came in had 93 students, and we'll see how retention rates go as the years go on. But we're looking for the same number of students and then the same number of cohorts in the Phoenix area. So that's all.
All right, very good. Ms. Schamberg, are you part of the physical therapy department, or are you part of an academic department?
So I am actually, I sit in the dean's office for the School of Medicine. And in the School of Medicine, we have a number of programs and a couple of departments that sit under the dean's office. So we have the MD program. We have our Graduate School of Biomedical Sciences, which is all of our PhD programs. We have a Department of Public Health and Community Medicine. And so that is where all of the public health degrees are granted. The majority of those are master's programs. And then we have our professional degree programs. So this is our physician's assistant program, the DPT program. We're looking in the future to add nursing. So anything that's kind of in the allied health area sits in that program area.
Okay, very good. Well, you may or may not have answers to all of my questions, but
I'm pretty familiar.
Go for it. So you've been around since 1852.
That's
so we don't have to worry about that. We're dealing with a newbie. That's good to know. You have two DPT programs. One has achieved candidate status through CAPD, and that would be your Medford or Boston area program. And can you give me an update on where you think you are on the CAPD application for candidacy?
For the Boston program?
No,
or the Phoenix program? Yeah, so actually we were supposed to have our site visit last week in Phoenix. It was going to be virtual, but the CAPD, the person that was supposed to conduct the site visit actually got sick. And so that has been rescheduled for mid-February. So everything is in. We're moving forward. We paid our fee to make sure that they're willing to come and do the visit. So we're expecting mid-February for that 3-day visit.
Okay. And then post-visit, how long will it take before you receive a notification that you've achieved candidate status?
So in the Boston program, we had our visit in January, and then we received notification in March that they had no questions for us, and then we received official notification at the end of April. So my guess is that it's a similar...
About 4 months. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Your financials look great. Most of us would be envious to have the kind of financials that you folks have. The catalog looked great. Everything was just swimmingly going along until I got to advertising.
Okay.
Right now on your website and on the internet, it appears that you have been licensed, not not actually stating so, but the fact that you're holding yourself out to the public that you have a DPT program in Phoenix, which until this board votes on it, you actually do not. So on the marketing advertising side, I just want to, it's probably too late at this time, but make you aware that until you receive board approval, schools are not supposed to start their marketing and advertising.
Okay, so yes, I would have to apologize for that. So this is where my inexperience in this process in helping the DPT program and the school get this off up and going. We have been running by CAPTE's requirements, and so their requirement is that you can't have you can't do any sort of advertising for the program until your application for candidacy has been submitted. And so we submitted that on December 1st of 2021. And so what they require is once you have that, then you can start to apply. You can be in the PTCAF system. And then you also have, you just have to have on the bottom of every page a link to the fact that you're not accredited and here's what this means. And so I have to apologize for that. That is an oversight on my part.
Okay. It won't affect your application, but I just want to make you aware of it. I mean, you've got three marketing events coming up. One on February 9th for Phoenix candidates, one on February 23rd, and one on March 9th. And those are specific to the Phoenix market. And you're also accepting applications through CAPTE's PCAS. They have sort of a pooling of applications for those interested in a degree in physical therapy. I am curious about what you might be doing with those applications that are coming in through the PCAS.
Yeah, so I think is it PTCAS? I think they call it PTCAS. So currently we're doing nothing with those. We're just in the system and waiting for our approvals. We can't do anything with them until CAPTE also gives us the initial, like they've done the site visit, okay, you can start to get that. Then what we would do is look at the applications and slowly start to notify individuals that, you know, we're waiting on our application for candidacy to come through, and here's where you're at, and would we offer you a position? We have a very long, not very long, but a very detailed interview process as well. So we'd be starting to set some of that stuff up to get things rolling, so that when we get notification, we can move forward with matriculating the students.
All right. So I don't mean to split hairs, but let me just walk you through slowly.
Okay.
CAPTE prescribes that you're not to start any DPT students into the core subjects until you've achieved candidate status. However, because you're accepting bachelor's applicants, have you accepted students into the DPT program for the Phoenix location?
I don't believe so yet.
Okay.
I can definitely double check to make sure, but I don't believe any sort of acceptance of anything at this point.
All right. Very good. And in terms of program administration, are you running, would you happen to know, Ms. Schomburg, is Tufts planning to run this DPT program with a singular program director, or will they have a program director for both the East Coast and Phoenix?
So we have two separate program directors. We have a Boston-based program director, and then Eric Hegedus is our program director in for Phoenix. So we actually, CAPTE requires that you hire them a year and a half ahead of time. So he's been part of Tufts and on our staff since about January of 2021.
Okay. And in terms of clinical affiliations, will you be hoping for students to go back to their locale, or will the clinical rotations happen in the state of Arizona?
Yeah, so I think the what we see as a benefit of this program is not having people to have to relocate in order to get their clinicals done. And so we plan to partner with physical therapy groups in the regions of where the students are, and we understand what a large undertaking that is, especially if we have, like in Boston, we have students that come from 29 different states. And so we have a director of clinical education and a program administrator that their main focus is to make sure that we have these clinical sites, that they're up to our quality and standards, make sure that we have MOUs from all of them to make sure that they're going to provide the education in the correct way to be able to touch base and become a big network. So we hope for that. And we also hope to be able to partner with some larger physical therapy groups in the Arizona region, since we're thinking that the majority of the students are going to come from the Southwest that attend this program. So we're doing a little bit of both, so that if students had to drive an hour outside of their hometown because there wasn't someone there, we want to make sure that we have enough clinical rotations in a reasonable distance from their home.
All right, very good. When the program leadership decided, or maybe it's the university, they were looking for places to start up this second program, why did they pick Phoenix? There's four DPT programs already in the state of Arizona. I'm just curious why they chose, I mean, other than the obvious, it's 65 degrees, 25 degrees in Boston today. I'm just curious what they saw in the Arizona market that they felt we needed Tufts.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that, you know, if I can speak candidly, I think that, you know, I'm not from New England, but I now live in New England, I work in New England. I think that we think we can do things really well and at a very high quality. And in New England, there, if you think that you're swamped in Phoenix in terms of DPT programs or any sort of program, we have one of the highest per capita institutions. And so, like, getting part of it was like getting as far away from New England as possible so we can reach a different group of people, a different diversity, a different type of student that maybe would think about coming to Tufts if they didn't have to move 3,000 miles away. So I think that we wanted to branch out, have a better reach, but also I think that the market in Phoenix would state that there's about, I think from what the market research that I've just looked at is that there's, over the course of the next 10 years, there's like a 20% vacancy of DPT professionals. And so I think that we think that we can do a really good job at this and that we can provide a really good, solid education from a historically known institution. And so I think that part of Arizona was like saying, where can we go where we're not getting a ton of people to come to Tufts initially, even though we get applications for undergraduates, for medical students, right? But we have a touch point in California. So it's kind of like a good region without being in such a swamped space, I think, if that makes sense.
I think I get it. All right. That's why the West was populated. Go West. Go West. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question about the hybrid delivery. What do you know about how it's being delivered today with your Boston DPT program? Is it teacher driven? Is it asynchronous? Is it synchronous?
It's a little bit of all of those things. So right now, we actually had to do a huge pivot because of COVID. So we were already set up to deliver the education online, but when COVID hit, we were supposed to have some in-person immersions that we weren't allowed to because Boston was shut down. So they've been alongside of the in-person immersions. They've also been designing just in case the online version of those so that when they do get people into place, they can do some remediation in person. But it is faculty driven. The majority of the courses are, it's all, in the online version, it's face-to-face with your faculty member sitting in a Zoom room or Zoom, but we deliver it through Canvas. And we have faculty coaches who also meet with individual students to make sure that they're not falling behind, or if they are falling behind, they can catch them up. And then when it's in person, we actually have about 27 faculty members that also come to campus along with the students. So we have about 14 or 15 core faculty members, and then we have a ton of, you know, I guess 10, 12 other adjunct faculty that come in to provide some of the other clinical education where they have expertise, and so that the student ratio is 1 to 10 as opposed to, you know, having a large space of 100 people, you know, having one faculty member at the beginning. So we'd like to pride ourselves on the fact that we give students individual attention. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, sounds like a challenging way to do it.
Yeah.
but one of the reasons we call it physical therapy is because it's physical. And so that lends itself to lots of visual demonstrations, et cetera, even during the didactic phase. So anyway, good for you. CAPTI is ultimately the final judge on the quality of the delivery and such. So I'm going to yield to my fellow board members and see if anyone else might have questions for Ms. Schomburg. All right. Chairman Romano, I think Susan's got her hand raised.
Sorry for the late hand. I was, as we speak, looking through the catalog, just trying to see the part about how they guarantee or require. I mean, I see right in the course progression, it says these dates go to the Phoenix campus, but it's not truly in the Washington building all the time, right? Because you go to an office.
So no, we are leasing the Washington building, that is their space. And so the online version, all of the faculty stay in their own homes and they Zoom from there. Is that what you mean by?
Yeah, no, the students, when they come for their Phoenix part, are they just doing the hands-on in that lab and not out at clinical sites?
So for the for the initial, I think, 6 immersions, it's all in that building, so that's where they're doing the learning. And then there are 3 courses, I think it's semester 5, 6, and 7, where they go out into the clinical, they do some, like, clinical rotations in addition to the immersions.
Is there a thing in your catalog about how far away from that Washington building their clinical rotation might be?
No, I don't think that we have that. I think that, is this a name that you guys know? Is it Honor Health?
Yes.
So we've been in talks with them about them providing some of that for us, and I have no idea how far away that is. From what I understand, it's in relative distance, but I get your point. I think that we can make a note of that.
Yeah, just something to make a note of. It's very different than Boston, where you're all, you know, smashed together geographically. We're in the big wide desert, and we send our students, sometimes they have to be aware that you might be going pretty far.
Yeah.
If you can find one right downtown, that's great, but you know, we're a pretty big valley, or even state, if you send them across, you know, the different states in the state.
Okay.
Right. That was my only question or comment.
She's basically saying our subway system is not quite like Boston's.
Hey, I'm not sure you'd want one like Boston's.
All right. I'm going to turn it back over to Mike and see where he wants to go.
Yeah, so hearing no other questions, I think we're ready for a motion, Ms. Schalupke.
All right, very good. You know, since we're ready for a motion, there was one little hanging chad on with the Arizona Corporation Commission. You have to register as what they call a foreign entity, which is anybody that's not in Arizona, basically. And I think you've had some exchange with them. Is it cleared up or not?
Yeah, so it was, we submitted our paperwork in November, and then I guess our legal office hadn't heard back. And then when Terry notified me that you guys hadn't received that yet, I checked in, and it seemed like whatever the format of the Massachusetts paperwork is that we submitted was not something that Arizona liked. So we have resubmitted it, and now we're waiting on that approval at this point. I don't think that we will have any issues, but that is what's hanging out there.
Okay. So my motion will be a somewhat of a stipulated one that includes getting that approval into the staff at the board. So I am going to make a motion that we approve Tufts University for a regular accredited degree license with the stipulation that they clear up being registered with the Arizona Corporate Commission.
Do we have a second?
It's Susan Cardillo, I'll second.
Very good. Does the institution agree with the stipulation?
Yes.
Very good. Mr. LaMountain, would you take roll?
Great. Dr. Mittman. Dr. Mittman is absent. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Lupke?
Aye.
Mr. Lupke votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Ms. Cardillo?
Aye.
Ms. Cardillo votes aye. By your vote of 6 ayes, no nays, 1 absent, the motion passes.
Very good. Ms. Schamberg, thank you very much for your participation today and your patience as we work through a fairly lengthy agenda. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. And also, I would just like to say I really appreciated all of this. I learned so much today. So this has been a very valuable experience for me. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right, well, we will do a call to the public. Please, if you do want to come forward, please limit it to 5 minutes. And please be aware that the committee cannot discuss or consider or take action on any matter brought forward as it was not included on the agenda. If you would like to make a statement from the public, if you would just raise your hand and we will call on you accordingly. Seeing no hands raised, we will move on from that. And at this point in time, Mr. LaMountain, do you have any other business updates for the board?
Mr. Romano, members of the board, I do not at this time.
Very good. Do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
You could just end it if you'd like.
Very good. I thought that was our practice, but I thought it might have changed. So I just also thought nobody actually wanted to adjourn the meeting. Usually Dr. Leck is all over that. But okay. So we will adjourn at 1:54 p.m. Thank you very much, fellow board members. Have a and staff. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yeah, great job, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Journey
bye. Bye. Are we staying on, Mr.
LaMount? Hold on 1 minute. We're stop streaming.
Can I run down the hallway real fast?
Just call me. We don't need to stay on. Just call me when you're done. Because Shane is on. Yeah.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
I forget what we're going to discuss again.